Well, I've been in two chapters for the last 2 days. Well, 15, chapter 15, for a long time yesterday. Now I see him being the Holy Ghost, just directing me strategically in certain parts of the Bible. And today I was in 13 and 15. I text one of my fathers in the faith yesterday. To me, the teacher of all teachers, Mr. Gary Carpenter. And I'm in awe how many times the word do is mentioned in the Bible. And I texted Gary, and he said, Homer, I was just telling my grandkids. This comes from Gary Carpenter, one of the most truthful men, preaches a gospel with simplicity, but deeper than anybody I know. He says, Homer, I was just telling my grandkids where I would be. I'm paraphrasing, not quoting. Where I would be if I just would have done the gospel. That's the simplicity of the gospel. To do it. Think about that. I have always esteemed I must pray more. I must fast more. I must read more. And yes, absolutely right. But that has nothing to do with our obedience. Nothing. Nothing. And I say that a lot, but you know what? Pastor Bronk has been beating that too. He's been saying the same thing. Because somehow, somewhere, that's still in our mind. But it is not biblical. It's not biblical. I had an opportunity to teach my son the other day, David. Big Dave, I call him baseball Dave, I call him everything. He's different. He's real different. We're at a football game, and I go to his games. I know for a season I can't see, but I go just like I can see. And I root for him. Come on, Dave. This particular game, and I'm gonna use human race, certain races, as an example to prove to you something. We're playing against an all-white team in the Naples Hurricanes. They're around the Barron Collier area, so they're the ones that have the flow. And Immokalee usually has a hard time with the minorities here, have a hard time with people from Naples. We all know that to be true. In football, you got Naples High against Immokalee High. Blacks, Haitians, Hispanics against what we esteem people with money. That's always been the narrative. Notice I said narrative. I didn't say truth. I said narrative. But David, I couldn't see. I knew something happened. Because my wife went, ooh. I said, what happened? He said, David just knocked the mess out of somebody. Yes, that's my son, but with pads. And David got a personal foul called on him. He was mad because they were getting smoked. I think Naples put a running clock on them. And I'm saying this to prove a point. The kid that David hit was a taller white kid. And from what I hear, my wife said he lit him up. He hit him hard, knocked the kids backwards, drew a flag. The white kid got up. We're talking about the word do now, do. Doing and teaching. The white kid got up and talked about his mother and talked about David's mother in a very vulgar way. And I said, go back to Mexico, the white kid told my son. Go back to Mexico. You blankety blank. Breathe in. Because the flesh wanted to speak up. Amen. It wanted to speak. It wanted to give its opinion. Come here. Did you cuss him back? I can tell when he's lying. No, Dad, I didn't cuss him back. But I wanted to hit him harder. That's fine. With pads. So this is what the church, we expect it from the world, but not from the church. This is where the church is at. The minority church. This is where we're at. So do I hold the white race hostage because of the ignorance of a little kid that was taught this from his parents. Do I blame Robert and Harry? Barbara? Rex? Do I blame them because of the ignorance of a little kid? Or do I look at my son in the eyes and say, son, let it go. Forgive him. Let it go. Do I hold the white race hostage because some foolish moms and dads taught a 13-year-old kid this narrative? Do I hold the white race hostage? Do I blame them for the ignorance of a little 13-year-old boy? Or do I teach my son? Do I go off with a false narrative and teach him how bad white people are? Or do I teach him to forgive one little kid that was taught this from somebody else? See, he was taught this from somebody else, but I taught my son to forgive. That race had nothing to do with it. Or a white race had nothing to do with it. See where I'm coming from? Because police officers are being called terrorists because of a few bad ones. 37 cops have been killed this year. 37. A friend that I love dearly, good friend of mine, told me that he believes that half the cops in America are bad. Based on what? The liberal news? The liberal news will tell you they're all bad. We're so asleep in the body of Christ. So asleep. This we're going to keep a secret. I've been in a whole bunch of fights in my life. A lot. I got beat up twice. Now the second person that beat me up, you can't tell nobody about it because I'll deny it. First one was by a big Puerto Rican. And I told my boys this and they never let me hear the end of that. That's why you got beat up by a Puerto Rican. I used to talk a lot of trash to this Puerto Rican, a lot of trash. But I had two big black friends that were always with me. They were always with me. One day they didn't go to school. He beat the Mexican out of me, man. Knocked me to the ground, back-fisted me, hit me with a shirt, and made me tore off my shirt. After that, I bought me a Puerto Rican shirt. I loved him so much. The Puerto Rican beat me up. Now, the second one, I will deny it if you tell anybody this. Second grade, third grade, I got beat up by a girl. But I was sick that day. A black girl named Tweet Tweet. I know her real name. I'm not going to tell you because I heard she's deceased. That day I went to school, third grade, I had a temperature. Both my legs were broke. That's why she beat me. If not, it would have been a fair fight, but she beat me up bad. Scratched almost my eye out. Yeah. I got beat up. So do I hold the whole African-American hostage because one little girl beat me up? Or do for I get all about it and just walk on? Or do I start an All Mexican Lives Matter movement? Or do I start that? Because a little white kid says something ignorant to my son, or do I start an All Mexican Lives Matter movement because a black girl beat me up? I don't preach a Hispanic gospel. I don't preach a black gospel. I don't preach a white gospel. I preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. I don't care who, you know me, I don't care who gets mad at me. Do I give in to a narrative and adjust to the moment? My best friend in the world is a redneck named Pastor Gary Flint. My best friend in the world is a guy that's in prison. I'm not going to say his name, but I called him Kibo. Big black guy. My brother. We went everywhere together. Remember him, baby? No, you don't. Love him like a brother, man. He's in prison for 25 years. But wait a minute. A white person hated on my son. A black person beat me up. But a Jewish person died for me. I hate racism. And ignorant Christians get on my nerves. You're gonna base that half the cops in this nation are bad based on an 8-second video shown on CNN? First of all, you shouldn't be watching CNN as a Christian. They're so anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-army, anti-ICE, anti-border patrol, anti-Bible. Anti-Christian. But we get our information from them. Pastor Bronk is so right. The church is asleep. Not here. Not here. All cops, 50% of all cops are bad. How do you know there's 10 cops in Immokalee? You don't even live Immokalee. So you're saying 4 cops in Immokalee are bad. Now you're saying half the cops in the world are bad. So you know 5 million cops? Man, you get around. What kind of jet do you have that you know all these people? Do, 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 do. I've been in the Gospels. The point that I'm making is how we act is how we teach. I could have sowed a seed in my little boy that day that all white people were racist. And you'd be surprised how many parents, even Christians, will sow that seed. It's a shame. It's a shame. It's a shame even for believers to comment on that filth on Facebook without even knowing the truth. Just be quiet. Just be quiet. All that brings me to this. John 13 today, I incorporated something that Gary Carpenter does. Been going through these chapters over and over again, but now I'm stopping. When something's there that hits the spot, I stop and I meditate it. Instead of just going through it over and over and over again, I stop and I ponder the certain thought in the text. I just ponder it. I just ponder it. Pray in tongues and ponder it. It's an inconvenience because I got to find the rewind on the CD player, back it up, play it again. It's an inconvenience. So shame on you, man, if you don't read your Bible. Shame, shame on you. It's not that you don't have time to read it. It's not that you don't have time. It's you don't want to. It's you don't want to. Shame on you. Shame on you. So I was in 13, John 13. I'm going to quote and then comment on it. I was at the part when Jesus washed and wiped the feet of the disciples, apostles. And I just got this. There's nothing big, but it was big in me, my heart. I tried to put myself there through imagery in that foot washing service. And I see a lot of singular in that teaching, referencing Judas Iscariot. I know he wiped their feet also because they denied him. I know that. But the emphasis there was showing them how to treat the world when they kill you. Jesus was betrayed for 30 coins of silver. High treason. I was sitting there today thinking, what's the worst thing that could happen to me in comparison to what I was reading? And I can say this before God, there's no judgment here. What I would hold one of the worst things that could happen to me, of course, the death of one of your kids. Then, second, this is me. This is what I esteem one of the worst things that could happen for you, for somebody to take your wife. and break up your family. That would hurt. But then again, if they took my wife from me, and she was never really my wife, that would hurt. And then it's like the Holy Ghost allowed me to shift over to see the image in John 13. And high treason came to my mind immediately. High treason. For 30 shekels of silver, a man betrayed another man. For 30 coins, man. High treason. A man that was, hope I say this word right, somebody correct me. Judas Iscariot was full of covetousness. Did I say that right? Love money over a just individual whose only crime was that he always loved. High treason, man. 30 coins of silver was innocence betrayed because of covetousness. Really. But this is the thing. A man, Judas, betrayed a man, Jesus. It's easy to say, yeah, but this and but that. No. Judas betrayed a man. Christ, Jesus, the Lord in humanity. A man betrayed a man. High treason. There is nothing, there's not another sin in the world that's worse than high treason. No matter if I lost all my kids or my wife left me, nothing can compare to that high treason. Nothing. Yet, the one that committed the high treason on perfection was forgiven for the perfect, was forgiven by the perfect one to the one that committed high treason. This is the thing, though. He was forgiven before he did it. His feet were wiped clean before he did it. That lets me know there's an image inside of me and you that has to be put on. Forgave, feet washed, wiped clean before Judas Iscariot committed high treason. The high treason was committed in his heart, but it wasn't physically done yet. Yet before it happened, perfection forgave the one that committed high treason. Perfection. Love. This is the part that got me. You might already have this. Good. But I got it now for myself. Jesus said this. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. If you know these things, is things singular or is it plural? Plural. But how many acts did he do at that moment? What did he do? One, singular. He washed their feet. One act. Yet he says, if you know these things, happy are you, Family Prayer Center, if you do them. But you only did one thing. Am I going to wash Ralph's feet? I'm going to be happy if I do that? No. That wasn't what he was referencing. The sum total. The things that are above that we are to seek was fulfilled that day. The mercy of God. Being a peacemaker. Being pure in heart. Being meek was all. Forgiveness was all displayed in that foot washing service towards a sinner. He wasn't a beloved. He was a sinner. What a lesson for me and you. 30 coins delivered him unto death. A man full of covetousness delivered him to death. Yet perfection forgave him before he even did it. The mercy of God. The love of God. The compassion of God. All the things that were to seek from above was displayed that day in the midst of the ten. Even the one whose feet was washed. Can you imagine Jesus coming to him with no drop in agape? With no attitude. Going to him. With the eyes of love and compassion. Washing the feet of a betrayer. Can you imagine? That day. when he did that, and the day the disciples and the apostles were born again, they remembered what Jesus did to one that betrayed him. That's why they took it to the end without an offense. What Jesus did, they beheld, and they took it to the end, man. They beheld the love that he had, not for a beloved, but for a man that would betray him for 30 shekels of silver. They remember. That's why Peter would gladly hang upside down. That's why Bartholomew was filleted alive. They would walk in no offense towards those that wanted them dead, because the life of those that killed them meant a lot to those that were killed. All that the gospel was and is was displayed that day over Judas Iscariot as he betrayed perfection. All the gospel of the kingdom was fulfilled that day. Judas Iscariot had no cloak for delivering Christ unto death. Completely forgiven before he transgressed. So David being called what he was called, and me being beat up by a black person, that's nothing compared to high treason. It's not that we can't forget. It's we just don't want to. We just don't want to forgive. We still believe we have rights. And 13 took me into 15. You know, the grass is green right now. Y'all know that, right? There's fruit on the trees. The economy is booming. Money's being made. And there's a lot of jobs out there right now. There really is. That's not based on Fox News. That's just based on me knowing. There's a lot of jobs out there. And I've been wrong in an area. I have tried myself. I follow up with people a lot, even ignoring my conscience. I hear Pastor Bronk on Sundays, and this will be the last time I mention this. I'll never say it again. I hear him even almost begging, come here, First John with us on Sunday nights. I hear him. But few heed. Few heed. I can't make a bondservant out of you. I can't stop you from loving you. I can't stop you from loving money. I can't stop you from serving mammon. We go with what we got. Those that come here, that's what we go with. I am an elder and Pastor Bronk's associate. My personal conviction is, if I'm not going to be in church, I pick up the telephone. Big dog, I can't make it today. As a leader and as an elder, that is spiritual protocol, my friends. I don't know what your conviction is, but that's my conviction. I guarantee you that's your conviction, but you're just overriding it. Because it can't be my conviction and not yours. I'm an elder and a leader in this church. According to 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm not to lord over you, but to set an example over you. Submitting and walking in humility. I can't make a bondservant out of any of you here. A bondservant wants to be a bondservant. A bondservant lays his life down. Money does not move him. Distractions do not move him. Either you want it or you don't. So many people are called here, but they're so distracted. The thing about a distraction is you don't know it's a distraction. That's why it's called a distraction. And if you're not seeking your Father, you'll override the fact that you're being distracted easily. It led me to John 15. This is all mixing in together. They correspond with each other. I know you used to be yelling and doing splits and doing that kind of stuff. Not today. At least not yet. It's still early in the game. Jesus said this, it's simplicity. Simplicity. He said this. This is my commandment. That you love one another as I have loved you. Now I heard Gary say something awesome about how he loved us. Yes, he loved us unto the end. He died a brutal life. And yes, I do believe that. But he was the only man until that time that loved us from within. Because he was the only one that was born again. He said, love like I have loved you, Family Prayer Center, that are born again. Love like I have loved. Love out of your spirit to the end. But this is the part that got me. This commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love. There's only one love in the kingdom, and that's a greater love. If you don't walk in that greater love, then you walk in partiality, James chapter 2. There's only one love in the kingdom, man. That's a greater love. That's an agape love. If you don't abide in the greater love, you don't abide in the sayings of Christ, and you're walking in partiality. And the partiality, man or woman, is double-minded, James chapter 1. A double-minded man or woman receives nothing of the Lord. The grass is green, my friends. Things are good. But if you can't press in now when the grass is green, you won't press in. The United States is desolate. You won't. Because you love yourself too much. See, greater love has no man than this. Greater love has no man than this. Then what? And a man laid down his life for his friends. If I can't conclude that our lives are not our own, we will never fulfill John chapter 13. We will never wipe the feet spiritually of the world when we go into our ministry. We never will. We don't have a ministry unless we know that our lives have to be laid down. There's no greater love than this. If I conclude that my life is not my own, I will walk in that greater love. I will. There's no way I can't conclude that I'm to lay down my life for the world that I will not walk in greater love. But if you hang on to your life when the tree is green and when the grass is green, you don't walk in greater love because you're partial within yourself. Greater love has no man than this. Then what? Then a man laid down his life. Then a man laid down his life is greater love for his brother. Greater love has no man than this. Then what? Then a man laid down his life for his brethren. For his friends. You are my friends. You do whatsoever I command you. If you don't walk in the greater love is laying down your life, you will not do whatever he commands you to do. You won't do it because you still regard your life as something. But if I lay it down, my mindset is this: all I want to do is fulfill your word, Father, even unto death. Greater love has no man than this. Now, Jesus exemplified that greater love his whole life, not just on Calvary. His whole life, he lived the life of self-denial. His life meant nothing to him. He knew his purpose in the kingdom was to glorify the Father. And we can't glorify the Father, we can't glorify Christ when we still hang on to ourselves. We'll never do whatever he asks us to do, hanging on to ourselves. Never. We'll be partial, double-minded believers that receive nothing from the Lord, James chapter 1. But if I lay down my life, if I lay down my life for you, I lay down my life for you when I do whatsoever he wants me to do regarding the kingdom. That is loving you, my friends. That is loving you. Loving you more than my wife, than my children. Loving you more than money. Loving you more than overtime. Our life has to mean nothing, man. If we still regard our life doing chapter 13 spiritually, we'll do it when we feel like it only, because we haven't regarded ourselves as nothing in the kingdom. That's what I want. And I'm sure you do too. Only one love, that's a greater love, which is the agape of God that lays down his or her life for the world. See, I'm called to lay down my life for you. I'm not called to accuse your life. I'm called to lay down my life for you. I'm not called to take your wife. See, I'm called to lay down my life for you. I'm not here to covet your goods. I'm here to lay down my life by looking into the law of liberty and continuing in it. I'm not entitled to an opinion. If I lay down my life, this is what I feel. This is what I think. But if I often give my opinion, I'm not laying down my life, and I'll never fulfill what he's called me to do in this world. Never. But if I lay down my life for you, I will do and will continue doing whatsoever he asks me to do. That's what we're looking for. He won't even make you be a bondservant. He won't force it on you, and neither should I. I was in church when the series started of 1 John. And me and my wife had gone to, where did we go, baby, that day? Walking or jogging at the school. I like to jog a lot, walk, sweat. And we went about 45 minutes. I said, come on, we got to go to church. Went to church. I think he was on teaching 1 John 2 and 3, I think. And we smelled real bad. Sweating out there. We were stank. So I came and heard the full one. Now this is how he handled me. And probably you, but there was an override somewhere. Well, let me erase. Let me talk about me. I heard the first teaching. Good stuff. I'd heard him before. Out of submission to my pastor, he asked me to come. And I did. But I did want to hear Gary again. That's, to me, other than Sin Shall Have No Dominion Over You by Pastor Dave, there's not another series in the world that's like this. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. Amen, Carl. So I beheld the first message. And I was really bothered. I hate the smell. That's why I smell like cologne a lot. I just despise it. So I said, come on, baby, let's go. We stink bad. So we got up, went into the truck. I hit the driveway. My heart was so pricked. I don't think I've ever felt conviction like I did that day. I looked at my wife and I said, turn around. Let's go back. And I came back and heard the third one. I felt the Holy Ghost tell me, this is discipleship class, man. Not per se like that, but in conviction. What are you doing? What are you doing? Do you think I care about your smell? What's your smell have to do with you hearing this tape? He didn't say that. I'm just saying, what word am I looking for? Okay, somebody help me. You can't because you don't know what I'm talking about. I am basically voicing my conviction from the Holy Ghost that day. Just voicing that. And I turned back, so we got to go back. And I heard the rest. Listen when Pastor Bronk says he is really stressing the importance of these teachings. And I believe with all my heart that hearing these, along with meditation of the word of 1 John, it's going to take us somewhere and quickly. It's going to take us somewhere quickly. So I ask you, why not? Why not? I know it's football season. I know it is. But people are dying tragically every day. People are going to hell every day. But we can't seem to leave our comfort zone. And if we can't leave our comfort zone when the grass is green, my friends, when certain things happen in the mid-elections, if certain things, and I don't care if you say don't get political, let me tell you, if you don't vote, don't run your mouth. Don't run your mouth when they try and take our religious freedom. Don't run your mouth. I'll hit you with this microphone. Don't run your mouth. No greater love. There's nothing greater in the world, Jesus says. If anybody could say this, it'd be our King. There's no greater love. You mean, Father, I can articulate the God. There's no greater love. Father, I fast, I pray, I read. There's no greater love than to you to lay down your life for the world. I don't care. This is where he's taking me. And if I'm wrong, then I'll stand the judgment before you. I'm called with you to lay down my life. Let's lay it down, man. And if this offends you, what I'm telling is truth to you. It's bothering you because this is not what you think. This is not your mindset. If this offends you, good. I told a friend of mine last week, I said, man, you know I don't push you much, man, but come hear these 1 John teachings. He said, why? So I can be convicted more? I said, yes, for that reason. For that reason. Let it come prick your heart so that you'll learn to get rid of you. I'm learning to get rid of me. I hate me. I hate me. My dad is laying the point of death because I don't have the goods to get him out of that bed. That bothers me. Not in a prideful way. Seeing him struggle the way he does, that bothers me. Seeing his son, don't leave me like this. Don't leave me here. Oh, that kicks my butt, man. That kicks my butt. When he grabs my hand when I leave, pray for me, son. Don't forget your old man. I gotta turn away or walk away from him. When he calls me and says, son, come pick me up. I said, Dad, I can't, Dad. You can't even walk. Don't forget about me, son. this place closes at 1. That's how far he is out of his mind. Greater love has no man than this. And a man laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you, if you don't lay down your life, you won't do whatsoever he commands you. And I won't lay down my life for my friends. But if I lay it down, whatsoever he commands me, I'll do it, because I've concluded that my life is not my own. To present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service, being not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of my mind. If we can't present our bodies as a living sacrifice, we won't lay down our life. We won't do whatsoever he asks. See, I always thought, I was so happy when Pastor Bronk said it. I'm renewed by what I put in. No, I'm renewed by listening to the new nature. That's what I'm renewed by. God, in my spirit, you are my daddy. Mind, I'll make you agree with that. I present my body as a living sacrifice. I'll do the will of my Father. My wife said it long before Sue. She always attempted to tell me, you're not the boss of me. I said, woman, get up and cook. You're not the boss of me. Sorry, Sue. I wake up in the morning, remind myself, remember, boy, present your body as a living sacrifice. One agenda. And the Holy Ghost gave me, I don't know about you, he gave me this directive. I want you there for every single 1 John teaching on Sunday night. I know you've heard them. I know you hear them. I want you there. Holy Spirit, sir, I'll be there. But you don't understand? No, I don't understand, but I'm going to be there. Two reasons: out of respect to God and out of submission and humility to Pastor Gary Bubba Flint. Somebody might be gnashing your teeth. But what's my famous line? I don't care. I don't care. If we think we're all going to be involved in this outpouring just because we hear the message, we're mistaken. Greater love. If we don't lay down our lives, we don't walk in greater love. We walk in partiality. We make ourselves the enemies of God. We are adulterers. That's why we ask and receive not. But at the same time, you ask. Basically, if you ask being double-minded, it's just like you're not asking. James chapter 4. Did you get that? When you ask being double-minded, you asked. But in his eyes, you didn't ask, because you didn't ask in faith. Faith is hearing the instruction of God and doing it. So you ask and wonder why it's not done, because you didn't ask, even ask it, because you asked as an adulterer, being a friend of the world. That's where complacency leads you, believe it or not. Complacency has a fruit. I'm not saying that those are in here are involved in those, like Pastor Bronk calls it, what does he call them? The deal breaker sin. I don't feel that in my heart, but complacency will lead you somewhere, man. You're going to end up somewhere. You might not see it, but complacency will lead you somewhere. Another thing too, the Bible that I read, not bearing fruit is dangerous, man. A tree that doesn't bear fruit, according to the gospel that I read, it's cut off, it's withered, and it's cast into hell. That complacency started somewhere. But greater love, Kirsten. Greater love. So me teaching my son to forgive a little kid that called his mother a terrible name and said, go back to Mexico. That should even be. It's nothing, in other words. It's nothing. It's nothing. See, if you walk with fellowship with the Father, if you're abiding in the vine, you're walking in forgiveness before somebody sins against you. That when it's done against you, it ain't nothing, partner. It ain't nothing. But if you're not abiding in the vine, you're going to have a hell of a time forgiving. But greater love, Terry, greater love. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down your life for your friends. I've always believed this, and I'm about done. Just ask it. I beheld that today also in John 15. Oh, it's all in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, be healed. That is a lie. What? That is a lie. How many times have we prayed in the name of Jesus and the prayer not come to fruition? Do we even dare to remember? But now, if I ask in the name of Jesus, keeping his commandments, that's when prayer gets answered. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you. Get out of bed with your boyfriend and then rebuke. Again? You see what I'm saying? It is in the name of Jesus, but if you're really asking in the name of Jesus, you're laying down your life, man. You'll bear fruit. You cannot abide in the vine and not bear fruit. There's no way. If you abide in the vine, you'll bear fruit, and then you'll be purged by the Father, and you'll bring forth much fruit. This is how he is glorified. He can't be glorified in sons and daughters that don't bear fruit. He can't be glorified in sons and daughters that have not decided in their mind to lay down their life. They will not do whatsoever he commands us to do. We will not do it. We can't. We're earthly minded to an extent, having a spiritual DNA inside of us. Greater love. Greater love has no man than this. And a man laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if ye do. If ye do, he didn't say if you believe. He said if you do whatsoever I ask you. You are my friends. If you do what? If you do, 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 if you do whatsoever I ask you. Now I know how Simon Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 could give us a blueprint of what was going to happen to him. And when I read 2 Peter chapter 1, I don't sense fear in the writer. I sense him and I see him giving us hope even unto martyrdom. I'm about to put off this in my tent, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. I remind you of this. Even if you know these things, I'm going to bring it to your remembrance one more time. Add to your faith temperance. godliness, brotherly kindness. Why not us, man? Why not us? If we do the will of the kingdom, if we do, it's so easy to say, Terry, that I haven't read the Bible enough or prayed in tongues enough not to do, because it makes me feel better about the things that I fell in. Because I can always lean over here, Lord God, you know my heart, God. You know I just need 8-hour days of praying in tongues. You know my heart. Yes, he does know our heart, my friends. He knows that in your heart lives his spirit, and you are more than capable and equipped to do the will of the kingdom that's in your heart. He knows what's there. You're right. He don't care about your excuse. Do. Scooby-Doo, do. My friend said to me, why do you want me to go? So I can be convicted more? You got it, partner. And that person is a real good friend of mine. A real good friend. Greater love has no one than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. If we do not lay down our lives. John 13. If we don't lay down. The problem is now, there's too many people that have ministries that have not laid down their life. There's too many pastors that are preaching that have been ordained by seminary, but not appointed like the apostles were by the Lord Jesus Christ to handle the word. Instead of sitting here under this ministry, being purged, hearing truth, being slapped in the face to do the gospel of the kingdom, we'd rather go out and be heard, bearing no fruit. I've had opportunities to preach at other places. I've had them at a big church. I said no. A few places. This is where I belong right now. Because those were invitations in the flesh from men. That was not an exaltation from God for me to go preach there. There's a difference. I could have gone and got all hysterical and got amens. I don't want amens. I want to do. It's amazing that Jesus taught by doing, and then he used words. He taught Matthew 5, 6, and 7, but before he taught it, my friends, he did it. And he did what he taught. And what he taught, he did. Read Matthew 8 and 9. The miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. The man walked in 100-fold. He laid down his life. And if we cannot follow him as our prototype, then we are not laying down our life. My heart bleeds and aches to move to Texas. My God. I love that town. Oh, it's such a fight not to go. But when it's time to go, all the finances will be provided. And he'll line it up for me. What if you never go? Well, then I stayed here and stayed in his will. How bad can that be? I know I've been called to do his will. So have you. Because the grass is green, my friends. The economy's good. It's real good. Money's flowing in left and right. And yes, I believe in the land of Goshen. The benefits and the prosperity of Goshen. But if you can't believe kingdom principles, you certainly don't believe in Goshen, my friends. You don't. You might rehearse it. You might remember it. But if you can't keep kingdom principles, it's just a thought to you. We're going to have ample opportunity to let our light shine in days to come. I hope you can grasp that. A politician in Wisconsin came out and said the cops are like terrorists. Now they have hashtag I had an abortion. Now they have that. Something like that. Did I say that right? Before they used to conceal it, hide it. Now it's a mockery to the Father. And the church. No, I'm sorry. No. People that go to church support it. I love what Pastor Bronk said, and I'm done. You cannot. I hope everybody on YouTube hears me. I hope you get mad at me. You cannot be born again and believe in abortion. You cannot be born again and believe in abortion. You can't have the life of God in you and believe in physical death by killing an unborn baby that does not have a voice. But the gospel has a voice, and the gospel is truth. Let's lay down our life. We better conclude that, because it's going to get rough. And I can tell you this. I hate to boast, but I ain't scared. I ain't scared. Amen? Because greater love has no man than this, than a man or woman lay down their lives for their friends. We teach by doing. And you know what Matthew 5 says? If we teach by doing, we shall receive a great reward. You mean, if I do the gospel, I'm teaching the gospel, I'm glorifying you by teaching the gospel, I'm going to receive a great reward. You got it, partner. If we abide in the vine, trust me, there will be an outpouring. We won't have to look for it. It'll come to us. If we abide in the vine. He said, if you abide in the vine, you're going to bear fruit, man. Don't put the cart before the horse. Let's abide in the gospel of the kingdom, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Offering, please. Can I finish early, Terry? What time is it? Oh, I got another 20 minutes left. No, I'm just playing. 8:26. Glory. Well, when you're done, right? Hallelujah. Have I arrived? Nah, just ask my wife. I'm going to wake up in the morning. I'm going to strive to do. Like Terry told me before church, I'm not going to beat myself up over the mistakes that I've made. But the simplicity of the gospel is this. Do. Well, Homer, I don't agree with what you say about doing. Gary does in the conversation. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you. Oh, and so does Pastor Bronk. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your correction. Holy Spirit, that we would desire to lay down our life for the world's sake. As much as we're being hated now, A lot of those that hate us now, when we let our light shine, those that hate us, one day, possibly, will love us because we stood the ground and abstained from things of the flesh. It's the only hope that you have in this world, Father. To win over those that hate us, we must stand our ground and resist Satan in the faith. So I thank you, Father, so much for all that you are inside of us, Father. I thank you that I know in this little church we have a hungry bunch, Lord. That their desire is to lay down their life, Father, for the gospel's sake, so that you would be glorified. I thank you for this offering we're about to receive. We know for a fact that it is absolutely, positively sown on good ground. We worship you, Father, and we praise you. In the holy, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Glory. See you Sunday.